John chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. John chapter 10 and verse number 1. The Bible says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, that they know his, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews, for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad, why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? We've been preaching on the I Ams in the Gospel of John. Now, let me remind you of what we said in our opening message on this. This little phrase, I am, Jesus used that for a very specific reason. We've preached three Sundays. The first Sunday, we preached on the subject that Jesus used this phrase to let the folks know that I am God. Don't ever forget this. Jesus did not just come from God. Jesus was God. He wasn't just the Son of God. He was God the Son. Jesus was a member of the triune God, come down in the form of flesh. He pre-existed with the Father. When Jesus said, I am, the Jews understood what he was saying. 55 times somewhere in his preaching and teaching in the book of in the Gospels, we see Jesus use this little two-word phrase. The Greek word is eimi, which means I exist. And he said it over and over to let them know that he was God, and it bothered them. There were times that they picked up stones after he said, I need or I exist. What does that mean, Brother Jerry? What he was saying was this, I am God. What he was saying was this, I am the God without beginning. I am the God that self-exists. I am the God without ending. I am the God who transcends place and time. I am the God whose existence controls all else that exists. Jesus is the essence of breath, the essence of life. And he said over and over in the Gospels as he preached to the Jews, he said, I am. This had great significance for them because this was a reminder of the confrontation between Moses and the burning bush when God spoke out of the burning bush and Moses asked the Lord, he said, when I go down and the children of Israel asked, who sent you? He said, you tell them that I am sent you. And that I am sent you. And you know what? When Jesus started uttering that little phrase, I am, any of the Jews that had any knowledge of the Old Testament understood that he was claiming to be that same one that spoke out of that burning bush. You know why he was claiming that? Because he was the same one that spoke out of that burning bush. Folks, listen to me. Don't you ever get caught up with anybody. And that the mark, the defining mark according to the Bible, of a cult is some group of people that want to deny the deity of Jesus Christ.
Jesus was the I Am. He is the I Am. He'll always be the I Am. Jesus pre-existed Genesis. Jesus pre-existed creation. Jesus was part of the triune God that spoke the worlds into existence, that created the world. Long after this world is gone, and all long after this earth and this heaven's been remade, Jesus will be for all eternity. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. So Jesus was telling them, I am God. Last week we preached on the fact that He also said, I exist as the bread of life. And I'm not going to re-preach that message today. For sake of time, we're going to go right into John chapter 10. Jesus said not only, I exist as God and I exist as the bread of life. And let me just say this, if you're here without Jesus Christ, you need that bread of life. Because there's an eternal a hunger that's been in you, inside of you ever since you've been born, all through your life. You may have tried all kinds of things to try to satisfy that hunger, but only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Now, in John chapter number 10, we see that Jesus, again, uses this phrase four different times, but in two different applications. In verse number 7, He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. In verse number 9, I am the door. So here we see Jesus says, I eternally exist as the door. And then He says in verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. And again in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. We want to look at these two things because they are intertwined. They all take place in the same parable. And Jesus lays claim to some things that we need to understand. He wants to be the door in your life, and He wants to be the good shepherd in your life. And we need to see what these things mean. There are two word pictures presented in John chapter 10. Two I am word pictures to help us better understand who Jesus Christ is. The first is contained in the first 10 verses of the chapter. The second is found in the next following 8 verses. The first word picture paints Jesus Christ as the door to a sheepfold, the place where the sheep are secured and protected. The second word picture portrays Christ as the good shepherd, the person who leads the sheep to nourishment and personally protects the sheep when they're outside of the sheepfold. I want to take a few minutes this morning to consider both of these I am statements this morning. Again, number one, the word picture we're given in John chapter 10, the first word picture is of a sheepfold. Now stay with me for a few minutes. This is the place where the sheep are secured and protected. Now the sheep did not spend all of their time in the sheepfold. But for a minute, Jesus said, I want you to concentrate on that sheepfold. I want you to look at that place of protection. You see, the sheep were placed here during the night. Let me say this, during the dark hours. The hours when predators roam under the cover of darkness, looking for opportunities to kill and destroy and devour. And what Jesus was saying was, listen, the devil's out there. He's an adversary. He roams around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's inviting them into a place of protection from Satan, from his destructive powers, from where he would like to take them from all eternity. So he begins to talk about the existence of such a place known as the sheepfold. Jesus, the I Am, is our protection in times of darkness in this life and from the eternal darkness in the life that follows. Now there's times of great darkness in this life. Even for someone who is already God's sheep, there's times of great darkness. We drove over to Lexington, Indiana Thursday afternoon, me and my wife. There was over in Lexington. This is the church, by the way, that Barbie Jeffrey attends. And the pastor, Brother LaFountain, that came and did part of the wedding. Some of you were here at the wedding and you got a chance to meet him. But he's got a burden, as I have a burden, for rural church ministry. So he had a rural church conference and invited a lot of pastors from southern Indiana and other parts of the country to come in and get some encouragement, some refreshment. So I got to meet some pastors that I'd never met before. I got to meet some pastors that I hadn't met in years. But there were a lot of pastors there that preached in small communities, rural communities, small church-type situations. Many of them were bivocational. And we just took a 2 days there and wanted to be a blessing and help and give them a time of refreshment and some encouragement. Can I say this, folks? Two different times I stood and talked to a pastor. Think about this. A pastor and his wife. I noticed that there was a pastor, a young pastor and his wife, and at every invitation he went forward with his little wife and they knelt down. This was a younger couple. And they knelt down at an altar and they began to weep, or she began to weep, and he began to comfort her and pray. And the next service they did the same thing. And I went over and introduced myself and asked a little bit about them. And I said, I'm not trying to be nosy, but I know that you all have a broken heart. Is there something specific I can pray for you about? And she began to cry, and he said, Brother Jerry, yeah, you can pray for us. He said, we had a 3.5-year-old daughter that just not too long ago, just a few years ago, she, for no explainable reason, they believe it was a brain aneurysm, was playing in the house and just stopped in her tracks, fell over, and died in just a matter of seconds. And he said, my wife still struggles greatly with this from time to time, and the messages have been encouraging and comforting, and it's been helped us. But yes, if you want to pray for us, would you please pray that we'd heal completely from this? And I thought to myself, you know, here's some servants of God. These aren't goats, these are sheep. Matter of fact, here's a brother that's not just a sheep, but he's also an under-shepherd for the chief shepherd. And you know what? There are times of darkness in this life. There are hard, difficult things that we have to face. Aren't you glad there's a sheepfold? Aren't you glad there's four strong walls with only one door, and Jesus is the door, and there's a place that in times of great darkness, He takes us and puts us in, and He is the door, so He shuts the door. He is the porter that stands by the door, so He guards the door. Thank God for the sheepfold. I know more got done talking to that young couple and praying with them. So let me pray with you right now. We prayed together, and I wept with them, and they wept, and I turned around, and the pastor was saying, Brother Jerry, I want you to meet a couple, and we got to talking to them. And I said, man, did you hear about what happened to their little boy? I said, I just had prayer with her little girl. I just had prayer with them. And I looked at this other preacher that the man was introducing me to, and him and his wife began to cry. And he said, you know what? I know what they're going through. He said, about a year and a half ago, we had an 8-year-old son, and he was killed in a car wreck. We had a car wreck, and he was killed. I'm sitting there going, what in the world? Now, folks, I mean, I'm talking about within 5 minutes, I stood there and tried to comfort two different pastors and their wives that had personally lost children and were still dealing with the hurt of that. And you know what I thought to myself? Thank God for the sheepfold. Thank God. Let me tell you something, folks. Your heartache may not be the same heartache they have, but I guarantee you most of us here have heartache. Thank God that there's a place where when the world gets to be a dark place and there's times of darkness, there's a sheepfold that God provides for us. It's a safe place to rest and to mend. They had the porter who guarded the gate against the darkness. They had the door that let them in but kept the destroyer out. Everybody needs a sheepfold. Say, Brother Jerry, I've gone through difficult things in my life. I'd sure like to have a place of sanity. I'd like to have a place of rest and some assurance. I'd like to have a place of healing. Well, the only way to get in the sheepfold is to go through the door. Can you imagine, those of you that are born again Christians, can you imagine trying to go through the craziness of this world and everything that comes with it and not have a sheepfold? And the only way to get in the sheepfold is to go through the door. And here we see this place that God provided. Listen, this world is controlled by the prince of darkness, the prince and power of the air. There's an evil in this world, and we need the sheepfold during times of direct attack from the evil one. Nighttime is a time for predators. This is when they would be herded into the sheepfold. If you're going through a time of darkness in your life, you're going through a time, Christian, of personal satanic attack. Let me share with you. You know what? God wants you to use the door, even as a Christian, use the door, get in the sheepfold, stay there, let God protect you, let God heal you, let God help you as you go through those times. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now remember, the door opens to a place of protection. Think about this, and I don't understand this. Maybe we ought to decide what we want. You know, it seems like, well, no matter, we're us human beings, we're kind of funny. No matter what we want, think we want, when we get it, we grumble about something that we don't like about it. Let me remind you that the sheepfold is not only a place of protection, but you know what? It's a place with strong, tall walls that do limit as well as protect. You know, we want the protection of the sheepfold. We don't want the limitations of the sheepfold. If I hear, and I know the teens aren't in here, so I can't growl at them, but I hear one more young person that's growing up in a Christian home, going to a Christian school, surrounded by a support team of Christian people, and they want to sit around and whine about what they don't get to do or want to do, or that they want to do, I think I'm just going to slap them. I think I am. I may go to jail. I know we live in a politically correct society. I'll try to slap them where there's no witnesses. But some of them just need to be slapped. What in the world are you talking about? You know what? Be careful what you wish for. Thank God for the sheepfold. Thank God for the protection. If your parents have enough sense to build some walls of protection, some rules and some policies into your home, they're doing it because they love you. Thank God they don't let you just run out there because there's wolves out there. There's wolves and there's predators out there. And let me tell you this, they're no match for them, and neither are we as Christians. The sheep, if they were going to get into the sheepfold, they had to enter into the door. Now we're getting into the first I am. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. And again, I am the door. Jesus said, I need the door of the sheepfold. I exist as the door of the sheepfold. Jesus was not just the door to this sheepfold for a specific amount of time. He always has been and always will be. There's only and always have ever been only one way to heaven. Say, Brother Jerry, how did Old Testament get saints get saved? That question gets asked every once in a while. Folks, there's only one way to get saved, is through Jesus Christ. We trust in what Jesus has already done, and some had to trust and by faith look forward and put their faith into what He would one day do, but Jesus has always been the door. There's always only been one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheepfold. Say, preacher, I'd like to become one of God's sheep. I want to become a member of God's flock. Preacher, I'd sure like the protection of a sheepfold in this dark world. I'd love the security of knowing that I'm a child of God, saved, secure, and that I have a good shepherd. Well, let me share this with you. Wanting that, desiring that is a wonderful thing, and if God's speaking to your heart and drawing you towards that, that's a better thing. But let me tell you this. I have to be honest with you. I have to tell you the absolute truth. There is only one way to be a member of the flock of God and to get into the sheepfold, and that is to go through the door. Through the door. Me and Cheryl, we ran into some friends we hadn't seen. One couple we hadn't seen since we were in college, and that's getting to be a few years ago. I got to see three other couples that we went to Bible college with. So after one of the services, we were all standing together in the foyer and talking about where in the world has time gone? I mean, Brother Reno mentioned in our Sunday school class, I mean, when you get to the point where you're starting to meet old college friends and you're talking about the grandparents club, whether you want to admit it or not, you're getting old. You're getting old. So we were talking about, I mean, next year will be 30 years. 30 years since I graduated from high school next year. Can you imagine? Oh my goodness, that's 30 years. When you start saying 30 years since high school, you can fool yourself all you want, but you're not a spring chicken anymore, all right? And we begin to talk about, and there was four guys standing there. We got to talking, and one of them, I said, well, how old are you? And he said, 49. The other one said, 46. And one of them was 47 like I was. I'm 47. So we all started picking on the guy at 49. I said, how are you going to deal with turning 50, man? He said, I don't know. And we all started sharing horror stories of how bad it was to turn 40 and how much we were dreading turning 50. And some of you older folks don't look like you feel sorry for me at all. I'm not sensing a whole lot of compassion coming from the pews. You ought to feel sorry for your preacher. I'm getting close to old age, all right? But we were talking about that. One of them said, how'd you handle turning 40? And I had to stop and think of it. And I remember that I didn't handle it very well. I'll be honest with you. I haven't handled turning 30. When I turned 30, I decided I'd take 3 days and just be depressed. And I did. I took every single minute of 3 days and just was absolutely worthless. So I decided that when I turned 40, I need more time than that. So
So I think I tried to take an entire week and just walk around depressed.
But the problem is, when you're so busy in the ministry, you really can't pull that off. You know, you just have to keep going and doing what you got to do.
But on my 40th birthday, I told him, I said, you know what? It's strange because usually I can't remember much about my birthdays. But I remember on my 40th birthday, I said, I got up on my 40th birthday and I looked at my schedule when I got to the church. It was on a Wednesday. And I just had a jam-packed schedule. I was scheduled to preach in chapel that day. I was in the school that day teaching. And then in the afternoon, we were going to take the team soul winning. And then after soul winning, of course, we run in here and we have church. And then I said, you know what, Lord, this day is just going to be packed. You know, I'll be so busy, I won't have a chance to be depressed. And I was thinking about what I was going to do that day. And my wife had asked me for several days before. She said, what do you want for your 40th birthday? And I said, to be 39 again. That's what I want. But I remember praying and doing my devotions that morning and just thanking God for extending mercy and grace, allowing me to see my 40th birthday. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know what? I'm going to be preaching today. I'm going to be teaching today. I'm going to be soul winning today. I'm going to be attending church tonight and listening to our pastor. I was assistant pastor at that time tonight. And I said, I honestly do not know anything that I want. And I really thought about it. I said, Lord, I can't thank you. You've been so good. You've blessed me. And there was just nothing in my heart that I had any desire for. But I said, Lord, you know what? We're going to go soul winning this afternoon. I guess if I just ask for one thing on my birthday, just between me and you, Lord, I would like to win somebody to Christ today on my 40th birthday. I'd like to just find somebody that wants to be saved and that will listen to the gospel. And I just like to, that's the only thing I really want. Well, I was kind of excited all day long because I thought, you know what? Surely the Lord will give me that on my 40th birthday. So we got through everything and then we got on the soul winning bus. I got the kids dropped off as fast as possible. And then I took off on my own and started knocking on doors. I may have had one of our young men with me, and I wouldn't let him knock on any of the doors. I wouldn't let him witness to anybody. I hogged everything. You know, I thought, I've got to find that person. And you know what? I mean, I went as fast as I can and talked to as many people as I can. And I got down to the end of it and was trying to pick up the kids, and I didn't get a leading by the Lord. I just didn't find anybody that was prepped and ready. And I said, well, Lord, I planted some seed, and I think I watered, and you know what? Thank you for letting me do this. But I'll be honest with you, I was a little disappointed. So I get in the bus and I bring the kids back, and we get in here just maybe 20 minutes before church starts, and I run and I got to organize some things and do some things. So I came and I sat down and listened to Dad preach that night, and I don't remember exactly what he spoke on, but I remember my heart was tender and I was touched. And so at the invitation, I came to the invitation, I knelt right over here at the invitation. And I'm kneeling and I'm praying, and God's dealing with my heart over some things, and I'm praying. And all of a sudden, I felt somebody tapping me on the side. And I look up, and there was one of our teenage boys. Not one of our core kids, but a bus teenager. And I said, what you need? And he knelt down, and he started crying. Tears run down his face. He said, Brother Gary, he said, for a long time, I've been afraid that I'm not saved. And I just thought I'd come up and talk to you. I've seen you at the altar, and I'd like to know how to be saved. And I smiled to myself and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I said, you had this worked out all the time, and I got to kneel right over there and get what I wanted for my 40th birthday, open the Bible, and show him how he could know for sure that he was going to go to heaven, how he could get in the sheepfold, how he could become one of the flock of God. Now listen to me, folks. You say, Brother Jared, what did you show him? I don't have anything but one thing to show him. There's only one door I can take him to. I mean, Lord, let me say this, folks. Throughout the years, as the Lord has opened up opportunities for me to talk to somebody about their eternity, there's only one place I can take them. And that's to Jesus. Because He's the door. Jesus said, I am the door. Listen, if you're going to get in the sheepfold, you've got to go through the door. And so Jesus was very specific about this. Listen, let me give you this. Anything or anybody that tries to enter into the sheepfold any other way than the door, the Bible says Jesus called them a thief and a robber. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Have you entered through the door? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's amazing to me in this day and age, as I knock on doors and talk to lost people, how many of them have become convinced that there's some other way to get to heaven except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Well, I'll say, you know for sure you're going to heaven. Oh yeah, I've made a deal with God. Oh yeah, I've got a list of things that I'm doing. Oh yeah, I'm trying to be the best person that I can. Listen, folks, there's only one way to get in the sheepfold, and if you don't want to go through the door, which is Jesus, that means you're going to try to have to climb a wall, or you're going to have to try to parachute in, or you're going to try to have to dig a tunnel, but all of those things will require human effort, and you know what? They won't make you a sheep. And you sit down and talk to anybody. I don't care what they call themselves, I don't care what title they have, if they claim to be a man of God, and you talk to them and say, what must I do to be saved? And they say, anything other than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Then you know what? That person, he is a thief and he's a robber. Somebody comes to you and says, you have to do these things in order to go to heaven. He's a thief and he's a robber. You go to a person and say, well, you know what? Me and the Lord has a deal worked out, and I'm going to do these things, and God's going to accept me on my merit. No, no, you're not. You're trying to dig. You know, you're not going to dig your way, and you're not going to be able to climb that wall. You'll go through the door, or you won't get in. Jesus is the door. That's why Jesus said, we're going to get to this one of these Sundays. I am. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Aren't you glad of that day when you think back? When you came to Jesus Christ, you know what? You didn't try to bring anything that you did. You didn't try to talk about anything you'd accomplished. You just realized you were an old lost sinner, hopeless and hell-bound, and all you could do was fall on your knees and cry out to Christ and accept the free gift of eternal life that He bought, He paid for, He paid the price for. That's what true salvation is. You know for sure you're going to heaven? Some say, well, I don't think you can know that. You got to wait till you get to heaven one of these days, and God's going to weigh out the good and weigh out the bad. And if I've done enough good, if I've done enough good, what are you talking about? See, what you're doing is you're trusting in what you need to do to get to heaven. But what you need to do is accept what Jesus has already done. He is the door. He's the one who died on Calvary's cross. He's the one that overcame death by rising 3 days later from the grave. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. Jesus paid it all on Calvary. He offers to each of us the free gift of eternal life. Now let me talk to Christians for a few minutes as we look down at verse 11 through 18. Now, I know we're not going phrase by phrase and word by word, but I'm going to focus in on these phrases. I am the door. I am the door. And then in verse number 11, notice this. I am the good shepherd. Let me say this. The second word picture that we're given in John chapter 10 is of a good shepherd. The first was the place where, and this is the person who. The person who leads and guides and protects his sheep. One of the great things about being saved and becoming a member of the family of God, and becoming one of the sheep of Jesus Christ, is that for the rest of your life, if you'll access Him, if you'll use Him, He offers to you a relationship that's awfully sweet. He says, I want to be your good shepherd. I remember Ron Allen, and of course Brother Ron just passed away, and we had his funeral, and what a dear friend. But he said, even when I was lost, he said, and especially when I was over in Vietnam, even as a lost man, if people said anything about the Bible, I didn't know hardly anything about it, but he'd always say, I have one favorite psalm because I heard it so often, and my grandmother shared it with me. She read it to me dozens and dozens of times. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And he said, I even had that memorized. He said, I would be as a lost person in Vietnam on midnight watch. And when I get frightened, when I get scared, he said, I'd start saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And he even thought, what? He said, every time I said it, I'm not going to say it didn't make me feel a little better, but he said, I would always remember getting done quoting that psalm. And he said, Brother Jerry, I'd still have an emptiness. And there'd be a part of me that would say, man, I wonder what it's like for God to be your good shepherd. You know what? There was a day kneeling right here at this altar where Ron Allen found out what it was like to have Jesus Christ as his good shepherd. He came down and for the first time in his life received Christ as Savior. And one of the things that, if you knew Brother Ron, and I got to know him well, especially in the writing of the book and just as a friend, but he really bought into this good shepherd stuff. He bought into it. He told me so many times, I'm kind of a, I'll just, okay, let me just confess. And I think I'm getting a little better.
little better. But if there's ever a Christian that likes, seems to have a horrible habit in my life of running ahead of God, you know, sometimes I want to be God's good shepherd. I'm not a patient person let's do something. And the whole time I'd be with Brother Ron and we're trying to put this project together, so many times he'd reach over and he'd pat me on the arm. He'd say, "Brother Gary," we'd run into a glitch or we'd run into a hurdle or something wasn't happening. He'd say, "Brother Gary, we just need to wait on the Lord. Let's just stay behind. Let's just let Him lead. God's got this thing under control." And I mean, I can't tell you how many times he told me that in the process of writing. You know what? Let me just say this, folks. That's a good thing to learn. You know what? Let him stay out front and you just follow. Just get up today and say, "Lord, lead me. Just guide me today, Lord. If I take off out of this sheepfold and I take off into the day ahead of you, all I'm going to do is get lost. All I'm going to do is waste my time. All I'm going to do is wander." You know what? The good shepherd knows where the best grass is. The good shepherd knows the safe path. The good shepherd knows where the sweetest water is. The good shepherd knows the speed that he wants you to go and the things he wants you to accomplish and the places he wants you to be. The good shepherd has it every day planned out, every day in his control. And you know what? If you just learn to be a sheep, just learn to be a sheep. And you say, "Lord, you know what? When you say go, we'll go. When you say lay down, we'll lay down. When you say stop, we'll stop. When you say ponder, we'll ponder. And when you say run, we'll run. But whatever you say, Lord, we'll just do it." Boy, let the Lord be your good shepherd. Listen, folks, you know what? We have a good shepherd. Let me give you this statement. I thought about this today when I was meditating over this morning, making my final notes. I said, you know what? We always have a good shepherd, but we're not always good sheep. We always have a good shepherd. Not one time in your life can you point an accusatory finger at God and said, "You weren't a good shepherd." But you know what? There's a whole bunch of times. One of these days he's going to say, "See this day here? Boy, you were a knucklehead. See this period of your life? What were you doing? And you remember you fell off that cliff and I had to take my staff and reach down and pull you back up. And here you about got eaten by a wolf and I had to come over and beat the wolf away. And if you'd have just stayed behind me." So I've got a good shepherd, but I always haven't been a good sheep. Let me just say this. Let God be what He wants to be. Jesus says, "Listen, I exist. I am the I Am. I am the I Me. And I want to be your good shepherd." The second word picture we're given in John 10 is of a good shepherd, the person who leads, guides, and protects the sheep. Stationed outside of the door to the sheepfold was the good shepherd. Let me say this, Jesus is the porter that guards the sheepfold. Verse 1 through 3 taught us that. Let me say this also, Jesus is the good shepherd that leads the sheep to nourishment. Verses 3 and 4, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep heareth his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice." I want to talk to you. You know what, folks? There's the day, there's the nighttime security of the sheepfold. But God doesn't let us live in the sheepfold. Every single day, God leads us out into a dangerous, corrupt, wicked world. But He doesn't just open the door and say, "Scatter for the day, find what you can, and try to get back here tonight." He said, "I'll lead you. Follow me. I know where I'm going. I know what's out there. I know what you need." Let me just say this. I wish we could live this practically. Listen to me very carefully. Would you try this for one day? Would you just say, "Brother Jerry, I'm just going to try a spiritual experiment. Tomorrow morning when I get up, the door of the sheepfold's open. I'm going to listen for His voice. I'm going to fall in line behind Him. And for an entire day, from the time I leave the sheepfold till He brings me back that night, I'm going to try to be consciously aware of my good shepherd and what He's telling me and where He's leading me, and to specifically be obedient to everything that He says to do and say." I believe if you would consciously for one day in your life live that way, I wouldn't have to talk you into wanting to do it the next day, or the next day, or the next day, or the next day. You know what? The best days, when I get to the judgment seat, the best days that I'm going to have lived in my life were the days that I remember to live that way. And probably the most disastrous days that I'll have to give account for are the days when I decided that as a sheep, I would run ahead of the shepherd and run out and do my own thing and go my own way and trust my own instincts. Let the Lord be your good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd that guards the sheepfold, the good shepherd that leads the sheep to nourishment, the good shepherd that protects the sheep from the adversary. Thank God. Folks, listen to me. There's a devil out here that's real. And you know what? We are no match for him. We're no more match for him than a small lamb is a match for a wolf. We're no match for him. We need a good shepherd that protects us. Jesus is the good shepherd that was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. You know what? The safest place you'll ever be as a Christian is in the shadow of the shepherd. I want to read you this story because I read it this week and I was just absolutely astounded. So let me read you this story. One Christmas Eve, listen to this. One Christmas Eve, Ira D. Sankey. Ira D. Sankey. How many of you know who Ira Sankey was? Ira Sankey was the song leader for D.L. Moody for years and years and years. Went and conducted all of the music for D.L. Moody's revival meetings. Now listen to this. One Christmas Eve, Ira D. Sankey was traveling by steamboat up the Delaware River, and he was asked to sing. Mr. Sankey sang the song called the Shepherd's Song. After the song was ended, a man with a rough, weather-beaten face came up to Mr. Sankey and said, "Did you ever serve in the Union Army?" "Yes," answered Mr. Sankey, "in the spring of 1860. This man asked this question, "Can you remember if you were doing picket duty on a bright moonlight night in 1862? Brother Sankey thought back and said, "Yes." The stranger says, "So did I. But I was serving in the Confederate Army. When I saw you standing at your post, I said to myself, that fellow will never get away from here alive. I raised my musket and took aim. I was standing in the shadows, completely concealed, while the full light of the moon was falling upon you. That instant, just as a moment ago, you raised your eyes to heaven and began to sing. Music, especially the song, has always had a wonderful power over me, and I took my finger off the trigger. I said, let him sing his song to the end. I said to myself, I can shoot him afterwards. He's my victim at all events, and my bullet cannot miss him. But the song you sang then was the song you sang just now. I heard the words perfectly. We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Those words stirred up many memories in my heart, and I began to think of my childhood and my God-fearing mother. She had many, many times sung that song to me, but she died all too soon. Otherwise, much in my life would no doubt have been different. When you had finished the song, it was impossible for me to take aim at you again. I thought the Lord who is able to save that man from certain death must surely be great and mighty, and my arm of its own account dropped limp at my side. Is that an unbelievable testimony? You know who watched over Ira Sankey that night? The Good Shepherd. You know who saved this Confederate soldier years later at a meeting on a steamboat with the very man that he was looking down the barrel of his rifle at? The Good Shepherd! Now, if God's got that kind of power, wouldn't it be wise to spend your life walking in His shadow? And when He stops, learn to stop. And when He turns around and corrects, listen to the correction. And when He says go, go. And when He says lay down, lay down. Wherever He leads, no matter whether it makes sense to us or not, trust Him. Trust Him. He knows what He's doing. Trust the Lord and let Him be the Good Shepherd. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads bowed and our eyes closed. There's two questions that this message brings, I believe, bear upon our hearts. These questions need to be asked. They must be asked. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's allow what was said to sink in. Two questions is very simple. Number one, have you ever allowed Jesus to be that I am the door in your life? Have you ever been saved? You'll never get into the sheepfold any other way. I don't care what you've been taught or what you've been told. The Bible proclaims
clearly that there's only one way to heaven. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ, His perfect life, His death on Calvary's cross, the shedding of His blood, His resurrection, the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for our sins according to the gospel. Jesus died for us. Even though He wasn't a sinner, He died to pay for my sins, to pay for your sins. But He didn't stay dead. He rose again. And He, because of that, can say, I am the door. Who's the door to heaven, Brother Jerry? Jesus is the door to heaven. Who's the door to eternal life? Jesus is the door to eternal life. Is there any other way? No, there's no other way. That's it. Have you ever walked through that door? Have you ever, in your life, come to Jesus Christ with a repentant heart and said, I put my trust only in You to save me. I trust in no other. I don't trust in anything I can do. Anything that I am, I trust only in You. Have you ever gone through that door?